Once again, I am your friend, your neighbor, Pastor John McClain. This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy with the one, the only, the renowned, the famous, the infamous, the in the streets and in the boardrooms. She's known as Dr. Jennifer Herrera. And Dr. J in the house.
Hey, yeah. I'm here again.
That's Woo-hoo. It, man. And it's especially after those 2 weeks of not having you, every week I do have you is exciting to me.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
great.
I need you. Like you are the battery that charges me up. So,
well,
thank you.
thank you. My goodness. It is a team approach, and I do enjoy that aspect of this radio show. So it's always fun. And I love to talk about college. Because college is the life changer. The college is an experience. It's something that you never forget in your life. And it's something of an experience that can never be taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it reminds me a lot of, in my life, I have, whether it's businesses or it's trips I've been on, or like you're saying, college courses that I've taken, that once it's there,
mm-hmm.
you can't take it away.
It's there.
Like, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's mine now. You can't have it back.
That's
sorry.
Right.
So that's, it's exciting that you mentioned. And we have Arlene here in studio with us. She's going to be our superstar for this whole second half of the show. But
all right.
As always, one of my favorite things to do for the first half of the show is bring on another doctor.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You kind of brought that out of me. Ever since I started hanging out with you, all kind of cool doctors are around. So we have the phone with us, Dr. John David Arnold, and he is the director of PEP and a lot of the awesome programs that they do. Thank you for coming on the show with us, Dr. Arnold.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Dr.
Hi.
Arnold. Thank you for coming on with us.
Well, we just came out of the mountains. We handed out food boxes in rural Pima County for over 2,400 people today. And
wow.
You're catching us on the rebound.
Nice. Yeah, we just had Amy Bass on the show. And actually, Ed, he said it a lot cooler than I can say it, but I'll try. Ed Dunan Wasevich, but we had them on the show, and they were talking about the awesome Amato Chili Cook-Off and Classic Car Show and Motorcycle Show that you guys are doing.
Great.
Tell me about your side of the house and the work that you guys do.
Well, anyway, I started Project PEP way back in 1967 aboard this old 57 Chevy school bus, and I tore out the seats and put regular metal chairs in. I'd drive down the farm labor camps there in Sarita, and then we would teach the migrant farm workers English and practical skills, and that's how we got the name Portable Practical Education Preparation, or Project PEP, is because of that. So I was a mechanic, the driver, and teacher. Now that's 55 years later, and I'm talking to you.
Wow. That's awesome. I love to hear that. And what are some of the projects you guys are doing? I mean, definitely it sounds like you're doing the food. What are some other aspects of the work you guys do through your organization?
Well, we're on three continents, and our main base is Arizona, of course.
Wow.
And right here in Pima County, we do utility assistance, rental assistance. We're a micro business lender for SBA, for small business loans. We operate the largest public charter high school district in the state, and we'll talk about that one a little bit later. And then we're also a mental health organization, and we have 22 group homes with over 200 clients and 100. And then we have our job training programs. We operate our own organic farm. If you go to ppep.org, ppep.org, you can really catch up on us. That's ppep.org. And then going a little bit further, we provide a medical distribution center. It's a major one where we collect durable and non-durable medical supplies, like wheelchairs, and we're carrying some adult diapers back that we collected today in Patagonia to our distribution center, and we have approximately 25 medical doctors and nurses that are retired that sort through and make sure all of the wheelchairs and all of the non-durable supplies are operational. We take those out to clinics like El Rio, the Tucson Fire Department, the Tucson Police Department. They always are coming around for something. And our donations, once again, are things that might have ended up in a landfill because a lot of hospitals and large entities order too much, don't use it, and then you don't know how to get rid of it. But now they know. Come to our PEP warehouse. So anyway, that's great. A little bit about that one. But we are supplying clinics on both sides of the border.
Amazing.
And that is key. Then there's the food security like we do today. We work in conjunction with the 3000 Club. And Pam is the director over there, and they receive food every Thursday from Shamrock, part of this federal program called Farms to Families.
Oh, yeah,
and Farms to Families. Right, and that's the food that would generally go to the restaurants. Now their government is turning it over to the people. So every Thursday we're out to mention Marana, Rito, South Tucson, Aravaca, Patagonia, Amado. So those are just a few of the areas, but those are usually the forgotten community. So PEP is rural, and our mission is to improve the quality of rural life. We do operate in the city areas because many of our rural people over the years have migrated into the cities. When I get home tonight from this particular distribution, I load up my Prius and take food boxes out myself to several refugee families here from Somalia in the south part of Tucson. So we have a full day, have a good time.
Wow.
And so this is basically a very, very sketch thing. I probably told you about 10% of our services. We do operate with this medical warehouse. We send cargo containers like to Ghana, West Africa. We just sent the one down to Honduras because they had the two hurricanes within 13 days. And we work with the Salvadorian branch of the Catholic Church. We collect the medical supplies, and they ship them for us. So it's all about partnerships. PEP's about a lot of volunteers. We have five boards of directors. That one's all Native American. The others are either economic development, housing, or education. And so we have these compartmentalized divisions, each with their own board of directors that are representatives from the communities. So I probably have said so much that I don't want to bore people. But anyway, that's where we are.
Well, awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and show some love to our amazing sponsors. But we are going to be back after this break with Dr. Arnold. This is with PPEP. Those who don't know about it, you're about to know. And this is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John here with Dr. J in the house. We'll be back right after this break.
Yes.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show. Or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to tucsoninternationalacademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
And welcome back. This is the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with Dr. J, and then Arlene's also hanging out there on the side. She's waiting in the bay in the batter's box. And actually, what is that? What is it called when you're waiting?
I think the batter's box.
It is the batter's box.
Yeah. Okay,
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's there
on
deck anyway.
On deck.
She's on deck.
Yeah. Okay, she's on deck.
Put me in,
so,
coach.
Yeah, you're, she's ready. She's ready. She's taking swings. But right now we have behind, with the catcher and the umpire behind him, we have Dr. Arnold on the phone talking about some amazing stuff. I think we had to take a nap during the commercial break on all the work he's done this morning.
Yes.
But thank you for being on with us, Dr. Arnold.
Well, I'm very appreciative. I thought if this next segment we could talk a little bit more in specifics. We kind of gave you a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, later I definitely, might, yeah. I wanted, one thing I did want to ask you, being a doctor, I mean, as you know, it's a great accomplishment, this being the Making College Come True radio show, is how did going to college, you know, kind of shape your life? And what advice would you give to other people considering going to college?
Well, kind of knowing my history, I was born in Pennsylvania, in a Pennsylvania Dutch family. At 4 years old, my family moved to Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, because my father got a contract with AAA Automobile and Popular Mechanics to do the first motor tourist guide in Mexico. So my education really started in Mexico, and I went to a place, school called Colegio Cervantes. Nobody spoke any English. I spoke no Spanish. So that kind of really got me propelled into my educational career path. We moved back to Tucson. I went to Lincoln School in Nogales for fourth grade, and then I came up to, then it was called Government Heights and Pueblo Gardens Elementary, and then Wakefield, and I got my, one of my PhDs from Pueblo High School. Now, you need to know about the Pueblo, everybody that's graduated from Pueblo High School has a PhD, which means Pueblo High School Diploma.
I love it.
But I did end up going to the University of Arizona, and I was working full-time. My dad was retired, and so we were living in Pueblo Gardens, and I wanted to do my educational work. And so that's how that kind of got started. Went to U of A. I got a couple master's at an ED and got a PhD. And so that really helped me a lot, but I think it's the informal education that we get, because when I was 12 years old and we'd come back from Mexico, I started going out with a church bus ministry with a Government Heights Baptist Church. It was a little church here in South Tucson. And they would go out to farm labor camps, take me along because I spoke Spanish. And so I interpreted the scripture. We gave out food and clothing when I was 16, had my own church bus. And then at 24, I was working with Head Start and going to school, going to college, paying my way. And then I started Project PEP through the Tucson Committee for Economic Opportunities, one of those programs that came out of the civil rights movement in 1964. So education is both formal and informal in my particular career path. And I think that's what motivated me to start a post-secondary school back in the 80s called Project Pep High, Pep Tech. And Pep Tech was one that we actually taught. It was a computer school. And we graduated a lot of people, including we provide the first, our first class became the American Airlines call center. They came and hired our whole school. So that was kind of good. But then again, I realized we needed to dip a generation lower. And so what I was able to do, we were the first applicant that was approved for a charter, a public charter. I remember, and that was in 1996. We became the first public charter school here in southern Arizona, and we opened up over on Ajo and Park Avenue, our first campus, and now we have six, and then we have here in Tucson both day and night school.
Right.
Now,
wow.
Our school is a little bit different because we work with young people that need a say, as a parent, two of my kids got that. And so that's how our education career path actually came into fruition, going to school and then putting it into practicum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Yeah. Do you, so education has changed over time, and there's like ebbs and flow. There's just different needs for the community. Sometimes a four-year degree from a college helps fit a certain niche, but also trade school. What kind of advice can you give to people that are getting ready to graduate from high school or going into high school really is when they're already deciding if they're thinking of college or not? We personally define college as just something, higher education after high school. So if you go and become an esthetician, you have done some level of college and that fits our program. But we also encourage people to get four-year degrees depending on their interest and the role they want to play in society. What would you say to that? I mean, you did end up with a PhD. What drove you to do that? Like, did you need it? Did you want it? Was it, how has it come in handy?
Good question.
Well, I had a professor by the name of William Barnes, Dr. Barnes, the College of Education, and Emil Gadblack. They were my two sponsors throughout my degrees, and they wouldn't let me quit. So that was one of the reasons I stayed in, because they were going to hound me. They would have come and dragged me out of bed and taken me to class. So I knew that I had to finish, and I did. And I do say that those two individuals have been, and that's what we need. We need to have mentoring. We need to have people to encourage to go along. Now, one of the things at Pep Tech High School, we work closely with Pima College, and then we have schools in Sierra Vista, Douglas, Casa Grande, Somerton, San Luis. In each of those counties, we work with a community college. In some cases, like my daughter, when she went to Pep Tech High School, she was co-enrolled in Pima Community College, already had credits after she graduated, and that helped her. She went on into a Peace Corps type of operation, which was faith-based, and went all over the world doing community service. And,
wow.
And so that's kind of how we envisioned when we started Pep Tech High School, to have a small classes, individualized. We have day school and night school here in Tucson. We're over at Kino and Benson Highway, very conveniently located. And our classes are Monday through Thursday. And Friday they can come in like my daughter did. She got ahead and graduated a year early because she was able to get tutoring on Friday. Being a public charter school, we have to teach the same curriculum as Pueblo and Sunnyside and the others, but in a smaller format, and we use Chromebooks so that the kids could take their school book, so to speak, on their backpack and not have to lug 20 pounds, but it's all on their Chromebook. So
yeah.
We try to accommodate.
Very nice. Yeah, so, okay, so you see the role of a mentor is very key in that. Do you, when you're seeing people in the rural areas, you must have a few words of encouragement for them, or how do you see that role of mentorship? But we only have 1 minute, sorry. But can you tell us briefly something about the empowerment of mentoring?
Well, here's the thing. Let me just go to Yuma County for a moment. And we have a public charter school in Somerton, Arizona, and one in San Luis. Now, these are where the winter vegetable capital is. So you can imagine most of our students are farm workers. And so recently Telemundo and NBC came out and followed two of our young women through a whole cycle of 24-hour cycle to understand what it was for a migrant student to go to school. And I think to emphasize what you just said, the young ladies that were on, and this ended up as a 5-minute documentary on the
I hate to cut you off, Dr. Arnold, if you have another 15 minutes in you, I'd like to have you on for another segment. That sound good to you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we'll be back right after this
break. Hold that thought.
This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John here with Dr. J. We'll be right back.
Are you considering going back to college? Do you know someone who is? Then Making College Come True is the book for you. This in-depth book, authored by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, local educator and superintendent of Tucson International Academy, takes what may seem to be a difficult task and gives a simple rundown on how to make college come true for yourself or a loved one. Get your copy of Making College Come True on Amazon or at TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. To provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
And welcome back to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am Pastor John McClain, the founder of Veteran Rescue Mission, here with the founder of Tucson International Academy, as well as a superintendent, as well as the author of the book, Making College Come True, 10 Keys to Success, a former TUSD educator, and the newest talk show radio talk show host in the city of Tucson. She goes by the name of Dr. Jennifer Herrera, Jen for her friends, Dr. J for the kids, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel especially special because we have another founder on the phone with us. We have the founder of PPEP Inc., Dr. Arnold. Thank you for being on with us, Dr. Arnold.
Thank you.
Do you have like a doctor name too, like Dr. A or Dr. Freeze or anything like that?
Dr. Freeze.
Well, we have all kinds of names, but I know that the bus that we started out in was green, 57 Chevy, and the migrant workers called it La Tortuga, the tortoise. So we kind of known about being slow but sure and getting to our goal. And I think that's what education's all about. I served for 8 years as the national chair of education for the League of United Latin American Citizens. So we had an opportunity to work on both sides of the board with education systems and try to bring things together. I've always felt that in the movement today in education, a lot of our referrals at Pep Tech High School come from the local districts. I remember Stan Paz a number of years ago as superintendent of District 1. He brought all of his 13 principals to our Pep Tech campus to have his monthly meeting. At the end, he stood up and told all of us, it doesn't matter who gets the credit, as long as we keep these kids in school and graduate. So we've tried to work very closely with the traditional schools. We are also a public school. And then we also work with the faith-based groups that have some of the church schools around. We're all in this together to help kids to go forward, and I appreciate that opportunity going forward. And I do go back to the fact that when I was 17, I don't think if I mentioned this to you, but I was actually ordained in the Southern Baptist Church. I was by North Tucson Baptist Church, and I nice. Became the pastor of First Catalina First Amazing. Baptist Church. And that's where we started up the migrant program once again. And then when I went through this whole thing I talked about earlier and we started Project PEP, a lot of the people came along with me. Of course, being an organization with public funding, we are non we have no political or no religious requirements. We work together with the community as they are, because of the that's the way we've kind of developed ourselves. But having said that, I do think all of those roots, the schooling, the church side, being a pastor, and being, you know, I think even today, the work that I do, I looked at the ministry of Christ. He did the church work, but he also did a lot of community work.
Mm-hmm.
He had that side of him where he's going out helping people, whether it was we're getting food boxes today, he might have been out healing somebody or doing something like that. So that's the kind of ministry I personally feel that I'm doing these days, but I am also the CEO of Project PEP, and so that's a little bit of the mix there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the whole person.
Yeah.
Taking care of the whole person and offering that mentorship, that sustenance as well. What a great system.
Yeah, and today the theme of the show is trailblazers and trailblazing. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I mean, I was definitely, you kind of answered the question I had earlier about what inspired you to do this, but, you know, what does it take to be a trailblazer and to really kind of, you know, step out and do something that's not only uncomfortable, but maybe put your life in danger, you know, put you at risk, put you in some really, you know, in difficult places, yet you persevered on?
Well, I can say this, too. My international work, Project PEP, is now global. We operate in West Africa from Liberia to Ghana to down to Cameroon and Ghana, which my wife is Ghanaian, by the way. And we operate programs in diabetes education prevention. We help start micro-lending program, especially for small farmers that would get their seeds. We work in Liberia, where it was once Ebola Ground Zero. Now we're growing rice paddies there. And places to be. I work in Nigeria as well. We do a lot of youth work. I have some of the finest young volleyball and footballers in the west part of Africa, which nice. Those are the two main sports. And all those things motivate people, and we do take risks. We go where we need to go. Malaria, I think we're talking about the pandemic, and we've lost a lot of people, and that's very serious. But I'll tell you, if you look at malaria, that's the one that scares me. There's 25 million new cases every year, and 200 million infected a year throughout the world. And I also feel that we've got to be good in our health. And so all of our programs have a health component in it, whether it's diabetes education, having vegan and vegetarian, organic farming, all of that is kind of our theme. And as you can probably see from our website, we have a strong emphasis in our next generation, our youth.
That's right on. Yeah, that's a good thing to point out. That's kind of like, you know, goals as well. I mean, a future goal to continue to keep your eye on what could be done with the malaria situation. And then just serving where you're at, goodness. I mean, the fortune that Tucson community and surrounding areas have, having you guys here in the midst of us is awesome. You know, was there anything that, like, what in the world inspired you for starting something that turned out so large? Like, how did it grow in so many different areas? You must be like a wonder worker with teaming and working. Anything you'd say to that in 1 minute?
Well, I think it's that we started out in the church bus ministry. I had already lived in Mexico, so I knew what people were feeling being in a strange country, a strange language. So that came natural. So a lot of those circumstances in my life led to where I was. Then the Government Heights Baptist Church with their church bus ministry introduced me to all the communities that I actually went to today, handing out food boxes 55 awesome. Years later. And the farm workers in those communities, we have built homes for them now. And you talked about the chili cook-off. We're in the process of building a youth center. So we're still there, but
That's
we're
great.
In a different level. So that gives you a little bit of an idea.
Well, congratulations on all that, and thank you for all that you do. I mean, Tucson, again, is very honored and blessed to have you here. So I enjoyed having you on the show. Thanks for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Arnold. Hopefully we can have you on more in the future. It was an honor to speak with you just in general. And, yeah, thanks for coming on.
And I think that's a great thing. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. You bet.
This is Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. You guys hang in right there. We got one more awesome segment waiting for you at the other end of this commercial break.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
Yeah, that's right. This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Dr. Jennifer Herrera, also known as Dr. J.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the 7'1" Philadelphia basketball players of the 60s, Dr. J.
Well, sometimes I think I'm 7'1". Yeah. But mostly I'm really not.
Well, in my heart, you're 10 feet tall.
In my heart, yes. Yeah. And I like to jump. Mm-hmm. I try.
Yeah, for sure. And you definitely got the swagger.
Love basketball.
You got the swagger like Dr. J. No questions asked.
Yes.
So, in the studio, Dr. J in the house.
Yay.
Yeah. And then also, We have someone in the studio who's been waiting patiently, like in her chi position, just meditating, saying woosah. We got Arlene here with us. Thank
Hello.
You once again.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Like the lady with the voice that sounds like she should have her own late night talk radio
yes.
show.
Late night with Arlene.
Thank you for tuning in to Late Night with Arlene.
Yeah.
We're talking Calling adult request, stuff tonight.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So, actually, the subject of today is trailblazing, mm-hmm. which is, mm-hmm. I mean, definitely that's fitting because we had Dr. Arnold on the show with us, and
wow, he's fascinating. Yeah,
he
speaking
was awesome.
Of a trailblazer,
yeah, for sure, Jeez. For sure.
Goodness, yeah.
Way I want to be awesome. That when I grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to be Dr. Arnold when I grow up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
No questions asked, and so. I'll start with you, Dr. J, especially because this is actually, I plucked this little idea right out of the book, Making College Come True, 10 Keys to Success. And in the book, you talk, you explain trailblazing in reference to children being the first ones in their family to attend college and how, you know, they are the 12. Trailblazers. Let's touch on that and then we'll talk about some of the other trailblazing that exists in the world.
Right on. Well, one thing I love about the whole term trailblazer is because that's how new discoveries are made. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of anywhere in history in mm-hmm. the world mm-hmm. For land places to be discovered, there had to be somebody who had a bushwhacker who went through and got through the forest or got through the bush or got mm-hmm. through the whatever in order to then come to the, oh, you know, the mm-hmm. place where it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And where they could foresee and envision like villages that turn into towns, that turn into mega vacation sites these days. So mm-hmm. it's trailblazers are people who are visionary. Trailblazers are people who are adventurous. And it's not for the faint of heart. Mm. And there's a quote that I remember has just resonated with me ever since I read it first. I read it on someone's high school graduation invitation that class had chosen this quote. And this was a long time ago. It says, "Do not go where the path may lead. Instead, go where there is no path and leave a trail." And that's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Nice. And I just think that it doesn't get much better than that, because when you do go where there's no path and you leave the trail, you're able to bring something new for yourself, but really for communities and for the future generations and for the future of mankind. And that is exciting for me. Now, sometimes maybe that isn't exciting for others, but it is for me.
Yeah.
I enjoy trying to do something new. So when we started charter schools, for example, just starting a charter school, you could take another charter school and just emulate it. But when I thought of the idea, I thought, I'm not going to look really at other charter schools. I want to take the holes in the system that I see in large districts, and I want to see what I can come up with to remedy those, because I don't want to cut short options that may be there. And I think it was one of the best things I ever did, because we were able to have something that's raw, that's unique, that's different for students. And I would say one of the biggest things we do is we give kids experiences they might that they might not otherwise have. And one time we had a student who wrote a essay, and in the essay he was making a persuasive argument that schools should have dances, because how else can kids learn to dance? Because he was embarrassed when he went to a quinceañera. He did not know how to dance, and he felt awkward, and he was like, dang it, my school's never had dances, so we never had a chance to kind of learn, and, you know, formal dance, you know, I didn't want to go there, you know. And it was a male, and he was like just very frustrated, and I actually heard his frustration in the essay. So I started talking to Trailblazer Arlene Cañez, and we said, what could we do about dances? Because we didn't really want to do dances, because we didn't want to promote the kids dating each other, because we're such a small school. So we said, what could we do? And she came up with all kinds of ideas for how to bring that about without having to have sock cops. So Arlene, why don't you tell us, what are some of the things that we ended up doing, first of all, to solve the dance problem, and then other problems that we saw?
Well, I remember when we talked about having a dance, because that was just, again, talking about, you know, promoting dating and things like that. So we started kind of looking back and just kind of throwing things around. And one of the things that came up was a cotillion, which was, you know, kind of a coming out, a debutante ball type thing. So it was basically organized. It was formal. They had to learn a dance. And, you know, which put them in a social setting and stuff like that. I think for the first couple of years, we actually had maybe had parents invited to the event, so they could see what was going on. And we even hired a dance instructor and taught them formal dances. And then it ended up becoming a competitive where the schools competed against each other to see who could do better. But it was a lot of fun, and it was an experience that really taught them how to be in a social setting, because most of them never had, and they associated dances or what they considered a formal setting being a family gathering, not necessarily events they would attend in college, where are much more formal and they need to know how to behave in that kind of setting, even how to dress. I mean, we had to take it to the level where we were printing out, you should wear this. You should wear this if you're a boy. You should wear this if you're a girl. Just so that they would know the difference, because of course, depending on the event, there's an appropriate way to dress and not. So it kind of just started evolving into a lot of different things, because we didn't want to go into like a prom. We're like, no, it's different. It's still different.
And that formality was huge. And the thing I especially liked about it was we saw our own daughters. They were about that age, and we got to see how they changed. And what I liked was it went from, ooh, a boy touched my hand, to learning how to appropriately engage in a social dance without thinking of it as a potential boyfriend. And they had lots of partners, because you had to learn how to dance with different people. And it was nothing to do with the relationship aspect. It was more of performing a public debut and that, and showing your better side of being a person, you know, a growing young adult. I loved that part.
Yeah, and it was something that we touched on earlier with Dr. Arnold. I don't think he really got to the crux of it, but I'll reshape the question for you, Arlene. What was it within you do you think you were able to bottle or you were able to capture to be that trailblazer, particularly in this situation? Like, I'm guessing when you first did this, you had no idea how to do this.
No,
you know, you never even thought of it. And most people, you know, I wouldn't say most people, but there's a lot of people that aren't trailblazers. You know, it definitely takes a special place within us to become a trailblazer. You know, what do you think that was within you?
For me, it was interesting even to bring up the question, because I was like, I didn't think of myself as being a trailblazer either. However, after I met Jennifer, and she kind of just was relentless with having me come aboard. It was, for me, being a trailblazer was leaving the regular punch a clock, 9-to-5 type job where I knew there was security, and going into something that was all about my passion and wanting to help people. Mm-hmm. Nobody in my family had ever done that, had ever pursued a career that they actually enjoyed and wanted to do and were excited about getting up every morning to do. That was it for me. So I guess in that sense, I was a trailblazer of taking the risk to go into something that I knew really not a whole lot about, and finding my path there, and well, actually blazing my own trail in it, because coming up with the events that we have done since then are just kind of all over the place, because we're like, how do I get the name out there? How do we, you know, attract students? How do we do this? Where can we go? And it has to be fun. Otherwise, we're not going to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bringing a part of yourself to it, you know, and so there's a formality about you in particular, Arlene, that's appropriate. It's like how to engage with others in a way that is mutually probably safe, but not only safe, but interesting. And so, you know, that's the kind of events that you've come up with. I mean, she's done the cotillion, which did eventually, we did, the kids wore us down and they did finally end up with a prom.
They got what they wanted.
But we still have aspects, though, that are very much a part, like what we did in cotillion. We've also had sports program resurrected, which, poor thing, last year she was coaching volleyball, never having played volleyball herself, and probably cursing me under her breath because I just couldn't get to some of the games, and she was the one.
That was fun.
And driving kids all over Tucson, taking trips around the world, and she's one of our chief planners that plans those trips, and that is a trailblaze. I mean, just what can we do in these countries? Let's look it up. Yeah. And it's just exciting and fun.
I think it's important that for Dr. J was teaching the kids how to be in different settings and now knowing how to act appropriately in them. So even events that we've done where we're recruiting for our school and just getting our school out there, we take our seniors with us or our high school students with us, and just teaching them, you know, this is how we engage in conversation, just introducing yourself. And these are life skills that they need, that they will take with them. Mm-hmm. So it's important to introduce them to that when they're in an environment where we can actually kind of have a hand in helping them in.
And we got about,
accordingly.
About 30 seconds till we run out. Let's talk about, what do you say to a kid that's never had a family member go to college to convince them to go to college?
Just say, you know what? What's your passion in life? If you had something you could do, some contribution you could make to the world, what would it be? And if they say dolphins, it upset me that they're getting caught in nets and there just doesn't seem to be anything being done about it. All right. Then you just start the talk. You know, who would listen to you? If you were a marine biologist, would they listen to you? Mm-hmm. Then they start to say, I see. I need some credentials so that I can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place I start.
Nice. Well, awesome. Another amazing show. We did it.
Yay! Yeah. Fun. I'm energized now.
I know. This is the Making College Come True Radio Show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John. I'm here with Dr. J. Thank you, as always, Arlene. We'll see you
next
time.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. We will see you, listeners, next week. Take care. Be good. God bless.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you'd like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college. Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.